Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 7 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. On today's episode, we'll be chatting with my dear friend and entrepreneur, Chrissy B. Cutton, about breaking into a traditionally male-dominated field, cultural and historical significance of hair in the Black community, and how the barbershop space has evolved over time. I'm your host, Alina Velez. Chrissy B. Cutton, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to really just spend some time sharing some love and wisdom with our listeners.
I am so honored. I am so honored. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, and I hope that all the questions and answers that I give will be able to reach out to the people that should be reached out to and make sense. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. Well, so before we get into the nitty-gritty, I'm just going to share your bio with our listeners.
Okay.
All right. So Chrissy B. Cutton, born and raised in the Inland Empire, a suburb east of Los Angeles, California, she began honing in on her barbering skills at a young age, doing hair for family and friends. She hustled doing hair in high school and college, and this is where her hustle turned into passion. Chrissy B. moved to Las Vegas, Nevada, where she expanded her craft, learning and eventually specializing in locks and natural hair. After moving back to her hometown of LA, Chrissy continued staying ahead of new trends and techniques. Perfecting the craft of hair units for men, Chrissy has worked on movie and video sets, magazine shoots, and worked with many A-list celebrities. Her clientele has tripled in the last year and is in demand, flying around the country to service her clients. She's a truly gifted barber, and her mission is to continually provide exceptional barbering services and teach and mentor future barbers and hair unit specialists by changing lives one unit at a time. Tell them what it is.
It's clout, baby. C-L-O-U-T, you know, changing lives one unit at a time. And also, I wanted to add to that bio, now she's a barbershop owner in Koreatown. Boom.
She sure is. And you're about to celebrate your 1 year, right?
I am. March 2nd is my 1 year anniversary of Chrissy B. Cutton. Wow.
Congratulations.
What a blessing.
It's a big deal. That's a big
Thank
deal.
You. It is. It really is. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, so let's kick it off with the first question. Being a Black woman, breaking into a traditional male-dominated field, what sparked your passion for this industry? And were there any initial, like, challenges that you faced?
Well, that's actually a good question. Passion first. Let's go with the passion. What sparked my passion to want to become a barber? I used to work in the film industry when I was living in Las Vegas. I was a production coordinator. So as me working in the industry for about 13 years, I used to work in every department, and I seen every department, how much they get paid, what hours they work, do they get overtime, et cetera, et cetera. So I really was over being a production coordinator, so I wanted to go into something a little bit more of what I knew, which was hair. Hair and makeup department, you work close with the stars, you know what I mean? And I wanted to do that. So that kind of kicked me off to where hair really, where I wanted it to be my passion. I've always done hair as a kid just to make extra money, to get new clothes, to get shoes, even though, you know, I could get it from my parents, but I always wanted to have my own. So hair was always in me. But the passion really kicked off when I realized I needed to have a career and have passive money and not work gig to gig in the film industry and have consistent money. So I decided to go to barber school. And I went to barber school. I moved back to California. I got my barbering license. And, I mean, it was the best thing that could have happened to me. It like going back home and – going to barber college. I had some challenges in Las Vegas, really, trying to go to barber school. I didn't have the funding. I didn't have the financial aid. I didn't have any help in order to be able to go and enroll in barber school out there in Las Vegas. I actually worked hard enough to where I went down to the city council area where they give grants and stuff for people that's trying to get into that field and want to be in school and just don't have the necessities to do so. So they gave me a scholarship that lasted like 6 months, but the school was so booked and they only had about three there at a time. And all the schools were so booked that it basically wouldn't have worked for me in the sense of the 6 months, the money was going to be gone.
Expired, yeah.
It would expire, right? So I had to make the decision for my life. What I needed to do, and that's when I just was like, all right, I'm moving back to California, and I just up and left.
And so that was kind of like, that was like the prompt to go home was like,
yes, that was the challenge I faced trying to figure out, like, you know, I want this for my career, but it takes me to get my license in order for me to be legit.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, and that's a good point, because it's a lot of people, estheticians and barbers and just in this, like, you know, field that are not legit and have
exactly and think they could just cut from home or try to come in the shop and not have a barber license or not have a cosmetology license, just thinking they could do it because they can do it. Like, no.
Exactly.
That's the thing, and I think it's because of COVID, to tell you the truth. I don't know. I don't want to put specifics on anything, but a lot of people got lazy after that because when the world shut down, people were working from home. People were doing things to make extra monies, and I feel like some people just didn't take advantage of saving up and really, you know, saving money to put forth in their career. But you got to have your license in order for anything to work, especially when you're dealing with clippers, razors, and anything with
blood
skin,
and,
blood, you know what I mean? People think they can just do it because they try to cut. No, you can't.
It's a lot more to it, right?
Right, sit down. A lot more to it. Go sit down, like, no. And then try to come charging $65 for a haircut with no license. Where they do that? Like, get out of here, no.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just, like, the atmosphere and clientele of your barbershop. Because you are in the heart of L.A., right?
I am. I'm in Koreatown.
Right.
Yes.
So talk about your clientele and just like the atmosphere and maybe just like some specific needs and styles, let's say, in your community there.
Okay. So the CBC brand is Chrissy B. Cutting. I am a barber, but I do have a specialty in the man hair unit system, which is a non-surgical procedure that I use a toupee on. That is non-surgical. I opened up a shop in Koreatown to specialize, really. At first, I wanted it to be just man hair units. Now it's a barbershop with man hair unit specialists in the shop. I'm still going along the way to figure out which way I want to go with the whole man hair unit shop. But the atmosphere that comes, there are regular haircuts that come through from the community. It's a whole lot of different races in the community. So everybody from black, white, Asian, Indian, Japanese, they're all there inside of Koreatown. So we specialize in all type of hair textures. And also I do specialize in the man hair unit replacement. So I do have men that are suffering from hair loss that come in my shop as well that get the hair unit system. And the atmosphere is great. It's a atmosphere of trust. It's an atmosphere of loyalty. It's an atmosphere of peace, because there ain't no drama in my shop now. You know, you got to come in here. You got to be cool, because once you're touching someone's head, which I believe is the topic, or the topic of this podcast today, the crown. If you're touching someone's crown with your energy, you have to make sure that you're in a space to where you're transitioning good energy into somebody else's head. You know,
absolutely.
Us as barbers, we touch people all day. So we have to make sure our spirit and energy and our whole being is right when we're doing these treatments and things with these with my clients. So the atmosphere is love, peace. And, you know, you're going to come in, get an experience. I actually call myself a therapist, because you're going to also come in there telling me about your problems, about your boyfriend, your girlfriend. I hear it all. You're going to be telling me about your cat and your dog.
No, and it's so. such a crossover into the aesthetics field too. You know, for people who have been listening to this podcast, you know, we typically talk about aesthetics, but Mary Nielsen, the creator of this podcast, she wanted to highlight specifically black hair and just the significance and the sacredness of it, right? And so, but what I'm coming to find out is just, you know, it's a lot of crossover between hair and skin. Like you said, we're touching people. We're transferring energy,
transferring
on energy.
Yes.
You know, and we really
got to leave your mess at home. Exactly. Come into work ready to get it in, you know?
Right.
You have to, or it's not going to work out.
Well, it might still work out, but you might not create the connections and you know, the connection, the deep connection.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what keeps people coming back. Like,
no one wants to
see a provider that they dread going to see. Like, I'm sure people look forward to come and see you. Not even just for aesthetic purposes of looking good, but you make people feel good from the inside out, you know?
Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal, to always come in and change someone's life in all thy ways, not just in your haircut, but in any way that makes you need to be fed.
Right. All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit and just kind of talk about, you know, hair holds a deep cultural, historical significance, especially in the black community. Could you share your perspective on why it's often considered powerful or sacred form of self-expression?
Well, hair is a form of art. It's an expression of who you are. You're able to express your personality with your hair. With my hair units, I have some clients that come that wants waves. I have some clients that want afros. I have some clients that want blue hair, red hair. You know, I think it's all just an expression of how you want to interpret yourself, I believe, to the world. So hair is very powerful. I've been growing my locks. Well, I have locks, and I've been growing them for about 15 years. And I just feel like the power in my hair is just so strong and connected because they're so strong. And it makes a statement. It makes people double look when I walk by them, you know. You don't want no bald-headed dreadlock person, you know what I mean? You want somebody that's walking past with some hair swinging, looking good, the hair's intact, you know.
She knows she
would. It's an expression. I want to show you what I'm working with, right?
Well, so I want to kind of build off of that a little bit, because, like, oppositely, like, when people cut off their hair for a refresh of energy, like, do you see that a lot in your space? Like, people wanting to just, like, start fresh and just, like...
I do. I see that. I see some people as always, they're like, I want to start over. I've been through this and that in this hair. And I'm just like, okay, I get that, but you're going to go through this and that with this hair. I think you need a cleanse from the soul. You know, the hair is the hair. Yes, hair holds odors, I believe, if that's the reason of cutting your hair. And I believe, you know, the whole energy thing. But I also believe that, you know, God could cleanse your soul too, because I've been through stuff with my hair. But I'm not cutting my hair out because I've been through stuff. I'm going to just pray it off of me and, you know, keep going. But no, I'm not going to cut my hair off. But there are a lot of people that want to do that. And, you know, kudos to them, and I will cut it off for you. And I will give you a good cut, you know. But
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? And also, I got a lot of people that cut their hair after they have dreadlocks or have long hair. They're either thinning, so it works better for me as well, too, because they realize, oh, I'm thinning on the ends a little bit, or I'm balding in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of a random question, but in my field of things, we have like hair restoration treatments. Like Hydrafacial has a Keravive treatment. It's like infusing peptides and hair growth factors and things like that. Do you offer anything like that, or do you see yourself, you know, expanding into something like that? Just to cater to those kind of people who come in with those needs?
I believe that those type of things are for either like a dermatologist or maybe like I would say also like a hair restoration store where like a lot of clients, some of them are trying to like go to Turkey to get their hair like replays with the follicles coming from the back of the nape to the front, to rebuild the hair of things of that sort. But vitamins are in the store already, so I believe if you have knowledge of already understanding from, like, just being healthy, vitamins help grow. It can help grow your hair, but I've never really read on anything like saying that your hair can grow back when it's gone, you know? I believe it's more of a genetic thing, and especially I have a lot of young clients also that are balding or thinning. So, yeah, vitamins can help, I believe, with nutrition and things of that sort, but the growth back, I don't really know. So I haven't gotten to it to the space where I'm, like, selling vitamins or anything of that sort to help enhance it. Plus, you know, I specialize in man hair unit replacement, so... I want the, I need the clients to come with the balding ends, the edges. Let's keep it real.
No, that's real. I totally get that.
But I'm not against the vitamins, though. Everybody take your vitamins.
Yeah. No, you know, it's crazy because I feel like COVID, there was a lot of people coming up saying that after getting sick, they had hair loss. And I'm one of them. I experienced when I got sick. And it was just the craziest thing, like being in the shower, washing my hair and just like, oh, my gosh. And honestly, I feel like I still haven't fully bounced back from it.
What do you think caused it?
I have no idea. Like, who knows what the heck the sickness really was? You know what I mean? And
how
it really affected, you know, everybody's body and everything. But, you know, it was just kind of like a common thing at the school, talking to students and colleagues and stuff. It was like, yo, like, this is really a thing. Like,
And that's why I really deep down in my heart believe it's a genetic thing. Unless you just catch alopecia from out of nowhere, and that can also happen as well. But I think it's a genetic thing when we start thinning a little bit by the edges or in the middle or even by our hair. And some also, it can be medical if you're taking blood thinners, I believe, and things like that. You know, I think that can cause a little hair loss. Certain medications, you get what I'm saying? Can cause hair loss as well. Did you, do you feel like it's growing back or anything right now?
Well, I'm working on it. You know, I told you we got these.
You take those vitamins?
I'm so bad with vitamins. but I'm going to keep it real. But I am doing some Keravive and this new treatment that we're offering called Jet Plasma. And so it's all just, you know, just kind of simultaneously working to stimulate the hair follicles, wake things up, and infuse peptides and those growth factors and stuff. And so I did a whole case study on my mom, actually, and she had a ton of regrowth in her
hair.
She did. So I really am a big believer in these treatments. And I think that there's going to be a huge influx here in the near future. I mean, it already is on the come up in the aesthetics world. Like, you go to these conventions and in Vegas or whatever, and like, hair restoration is the thing right now.
So that's dope. I'm going to have to check the vitamins out to see, you know?
If you need some, actually, I know of a couple good brands that we've kind of looked at the school, and we carry it in our school store. Yeah, let's talk about how you feel like the barbershop scene has evolved over time as a safe space and just community hub for all people. Like you said, where you're at, like, you see such a wide range of ethnicities. Can you share like a memorable story or a time that your shop served as more than just a place for haircuts?
Oh, of course. Let's answer the how do I feel the barbershop evolved over the years first. Let's get into that for a second. For me, and I'm gonna tell my truth, okay? The barbershop world back in the day used to be like a family-oriented feel. You go get your hair cut on Saturdays. You might stay there all day because you're chopping it up with everybody in the shop. Your mama's getting her hair done. You sitting in there waiting for her for about 4 hours to finish her hair, you know, but you also outside playing with the other kids that's waiting for their mother to get their hair done or their dad, you know what I mean? It was definitely like a feeling of, you know, I can't wait to go to the barbershop on Saturday because, or the hair salon on Saturday because I know I'm gonna kick it with some friends. I know I'm gonna see such and such. I know I'm gonna see my hairstylist, and you know. So I believe that's how the barbershop atmosphere should be. Now, these days, fast forwarding, I believe that a lot of people have lost that barbershop mentality. Things have evolved. Yes, now there's salon suites where people want to, have their private rooms. And I really think that kind of opened up a door during COVID. A lot of people working from home started building up their clientele to where everything was kind of more private, appointment only based type situations. So I think they really have now got adapted to that atmosphere and don't want to work in the barbershops like they used to and have like a feeling of a barber shop like scene and like a family vibe. A lot of people nowadays are doing like independent things. It's a lot of people opening up barbershops, I believe, these days. For me, I believe congratulations to everybody who opened up a barbershop. I opened up one too, but I feel like we need people that are also going to work inside of the barbershops and help build the barbershops as well and bring that barbershop feeling back to the community and just to the whole barber industry in order for it to have that vibe begin where people will trust you and want to come and hang out at the barbershops. You know, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, everybody wants to work for themselves. That's good, but where's the team at?
Where's the
And that's what.
community?
Where's the community? That's what hair is about. It's the community,
Right.
right?
Right.
We need that feeling back in the scene because these youngsters growing up underneath us, they is a free for all. That's why a lot of these youngsters think that they could just come in and not have their barber license. No, we need that atmosphere back. We need that leadership back where we're putting fear and letting them know, like, hey, you have to have this in order to work here. You have to have this in order to elevate. You have to have this in order for you to be better for yourself in this industry. So I feel like it hasn't evolved in the sense of community. It's evolved in the sense of everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and there's no team in the backing in this industry. It's a barbershop every two doors down on every street around the world, probably. You know what I mean? When do we come back to the spot where it's like, okay, there's people that was going to work in your shop and be there with you for years and years and years and grow with your brand and just bring that feeling back. That's how I really feel about it. And I just hope one day soon that we all get back to that community where there's hair shows, where people are going out in around the world, not just barber expos, but hair shows that include barbers in Cosmo. That's like you want to go out, stay there for the week and set up a booth and do some things like that and meet new barbers, get new ideas, meet new people, meet new styles and ways to cut and products that's out there and things of that sort. That's how you network. The networking, and I feel like that loyalty needs to come back into the shops all the way around, from the elders to the new generation coming in. We need to get that feeling back. So,
Yeah, I love
and I,
that. And
yeah.
you have people running shares from you, so you're in a position to be that leader and to
Yes.
create that space and that legacy,
Yes, and my
right?
barbershop is growing. I have two barbers in there as of right now. I'm looking for another barber and a braider. But like I say, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. So it's a lot harder nowadays to try to get people inside your shop that are licensed, first off, and that is willing to grow with you and not just want to be, oh, this is my brand. This is who I am. I'm this barber. I'm, I'm barber of the year. That, like, you get what I mean? So it's a little bit harder. So I have to now think strategically on what makes sense in order for the people in my shop. So it's I have to look for now people maybe that's coming out of school in order for them to grow inside of my shop, or an apprentice that wants to learn under me. And I stand out differently because not only do I do haircuts, but I specialize in the men hair unit systems, and I'm the best in the West. And I mean, if anybody want to challenge that, come on, that's all right. I'm down for the challenge. It's got to be a good, and it has to be, a meaningful challenge. I'm down to challenge, but I know I'm the best in the West, so it's like it's a win-win. But like I said, we have to get that community back of the feeling, the community feeling back in the barbershops,
Right. Say that. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, so share a time. I can think of one, but share a time that your shop served as more than just a place for haircuts. Because you had put on, I'm gonna let you tell them.
Okay, so on Thanksgiving of this year, actually, I put on an event for the community for I did free haircuts for kids 13 and or 13 and down. And it was actually the best turnout and the best feeling that it can be. You know, there's some people out there that can afford haircuts and there's some people that can't. Haircuts are expensive these days with these people cutting with no licenses. So, you know, these parents in my community is especially where I'm at in Koreatown, there's a lot of needs for people that are less fortunate. And I was able to go out that day and give free haircuts to these kids, and they really loved it. And my barbers did a great job. It was just like the best atmosphere, and it was something that needs to happen often because it's, you know, everybody wants to feel good, everybody wants to look good, and everybody deserves those things. So sometimes in the community, you have to give back since they're putting in to stay help you stay open inside that community as well.
100%. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree
Yeah.
more. What advice would you give to other women who aspire to own their own businesses, especially in a creative or traditionally male-dominated space? What kind of advice would you give them?
Make sure that you have a plus one.
What do you mean by that?
Make sure you have your right hand. You can always open up a business, but make sure you have that person that you can grow with, and they grow with you as well. And you guys basically, you know, build that business together in order for it to be successful. I would also say go for it. Go for it. If something you love and something you want to adventure out to do, just make sure you understand while opening a business, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. Make sure you have your LLCs in place. Make sure you have your banking things in place, your establishment license. Have your
Taxes.
paperwork, your taxes, have your paperwork right in order for you to be able to be successful. Opening the business is not just, I'm opening the business. I made a name, I'm opening the business. No. Make sure your credit's right and make sure you're lined up in the space to where you got to be there 100%. You have to grow that business. You have to, or it's not going to succeed. It will succeed if you put your 100% into it. And
And
I just say,
it might not be overnight, right? Like,
right. No, I was sitting in my shop for 8 months by myself, just me, you know, keeping the doors open. I finally hired one barber, and then I hired another. But I was in there by myself, grinding it out, opening and closing. You ain't gonna be able to just leave when you want to because you have business hours. So you have to abide by those in order for you to, you know, for your business to grow. So there are times you're going to be there late. There's times you're going to be there early. And there's going to be rough times. There's going to be times where you're stressed out, where you, there's going to be times where you're digging in your savings. But at the end of the day, if it's something you love and have a passion for, just make sure your back end is in order because everything is going, it's just going to show and glow from the front if it is. Make sure you love what you do. You have to love what you do. It's not gonna make
So
sense if
true.
not. You have to, you
Absolutely.
know.
Yeah, that's great
So
advice.
yeah.
Great advice. All right, last question. Looking ahead, what's next for you and your business in the industry? Are there any projects you're working on that you'd like to share or anything fun and exciting going on? Tell the people.
So I'm look my next project right now going on is I'm gonna have a hair unit class. In April, I want to have a hair unit class in April. I'm going to send out those details on Instagram soon, and I'm going to be able to expand other people as well to learn how to do hair units, the hair unit system, the techniques, and things of that sort, so everybody can make money in this industry. There's a lot of money in this industry if you know how to tap in, and
And there's
you
enough
just
to
have
go
to.
around, right?
It's enough to go around. You don't want it all, you know. You don't want to do everybody hair either.
It's
You want to
true.
make sure you're good, but you also can be a blessing along the way while doing you as well. If you learn and teach people how to do things as well, if that's what you do, don't think of it as your blessings or your money's going to be gone or you're going to get less of. You're actually going to multiply because there's so much out there, and by you giving your good deeds and karma is going to come back to you and you know, help you multiply in your business. So you always have to be able to be a teacher as well as a learner in this industry and in life, period. Give and you shall receive, and the best thing is to give. You know, because you never know what somebody else is going through, and people don't know what you're going through. But give
And
it
to
with
give
an open
freely.
heart. Give freely.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have not to. Expecting anything in return, right?
Yes, that's the only way. Yeah,
absolutely.
And in this industry as well, you know, you have a lot of things, like a lot, you hear a lot of things other than people's hair issues, you know, you listen to their life issues, and a lot of people are going through a lot of things these days with all the transition of everything in the world. So you got to remember to be gentle and to be, you know, there and be a helping hand in the sense of like listening. It doesn't have to be materialistic, but just by listening and just being a good person, you know, and it's going
like
to open
you
up.
Said, you know, like being present and leaving your personal things at the door, like whatever you are personally going through, like that's got nothing to do with your clients for the day, you know.
Right.
So I think that's something we've talked about on previous episodes of just leaving whatever you are personally going through at the door and just coming into the day, being present, and, you know, giving your clients your undivided attention, you know, not being distracted on your phone and worried about another person or, you know, I mean, it starts from the moment they walk in the door and that greeting and the vibe you create and the music in the back and, you know, it's a complete experience, right?
We owe this to them because they paying.
Right.
And we owe it to them just because we owe it to them, but they paying too, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So
tell the people where they can follow you and find you and keep up with you.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Chrissy B. Cutting. You guys can find me on Twitter at Chrissy B. Cutting, ChrissyBCutting, Chrissy B. Cutting. So you can find me on those sites, Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. I'm going to be doing a little bit more content. I know I'm a little older, so, you know, the new content game is up. And so I guess, you know, I have to be one of these influencers to do more content and stay afloat.
Yeah.
So you guys can catch me doing more content and things of that sort, and I'll have you guys updated with the hair unit classes and everything else. I'm going to be going to some barber shows expos this year as well, so you'll be able to go to my Instagram and catch me on which ones I'll be going to. I'll list them up there, and check me out. I'm here for the long run.
Yes, she sure is.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Man, that was a good talk. And for us and our social media, you guys know you can find me at True Skin Lab on Instagram, and of course the Fearless Beauties Instagram at Fearless Beauties. So thank you again, Chrissy B.
Yes. Tune in, y'all.